Hello, this is Roy Thomas, and you're listening to the Power Cosmic Podcast.
That's right, friends. You've been waiting for the podcast that talks about the things you love. Well, go no further, because you've reached the Power Cosmic Podcast. Each week, legendary Comic-Con promoter Mitch Halleck of the Terrific Con and legendary finder of lost things John Cimino of Saturday Morning Collectibles at the Raynham Flea Market, booth A89 and 90, will talk about the stuff you love. Now sit back and talk about comics, TV, movies, toys, and more. It's the Power Cosmic Podcast.
Hey everybody, we're back, we're live, that's right, we're here. Terrificon is now part of history, but we have a lot to tell you about. I am your host, the man with the most, Mitchell A. Halleck, promoter, creator of the world's greatest Comic-Con, a.k.a. the one that just happened. And joining me as always, my sidekick, my partner in crime, you know him, you love him. If you were at Terrificon, you saw him at the side of Roy Thomas the entire weekend. John Cimino.
Make my marble, Mitch. Make my marble.
John, was this not like the best con you've ever been to, honestly?
Okay, we got a lot to talk about, but let's start right from the tippity top. You know what? Not to sound biased, but, I mean, and we've done cons, and I've done cons all over the country. I've been to every single one, and I'm going to have to say, Yes. Okay, why yes? The first and foremost thing, atmosphere.
Yes.
Everybody was having a good time. Everybody was in good spirit. Even your help, even you, Mitch. Didn't I say this to you? I go, Mitch has had, you know, it's taken Mitch to get a little, to kind of...
Surly. I get surly.
No, but to get some experience in how to handle, like, the stresses of everything. And the first 3 years you were doing this, you got better through the years, but, you know, the first year it was, like, it was hard for you to handle. But I even said to you, even during the show, like, Mitch, you got better at it. Like, I mean, like, you could see that you weren't just stressing, you were enjoying it, you had a good time. That is the key to being a good promoter. You got to not just see everything come into fruition, but you got to enjoy everything as it came into fruition, just like you. I have to say that, Mitch, good job.
Well, you always tell me, will you just enjoy it? That's what you always say to me before every show, and I finally took your advice, plus the fact that I was recuperating from some walking pneumonia, I think, slowed me down a little bit.
I died a few times on your way to Comic-Con.
Yeah. I was at the doctor's office a couple times, and, you know, it wasn't pretty. But no. And you know what, though? The third time there, everybody kind of knows where we're going. We know the layout. We know all the players. Mohegan Sun knows us. So, you know, it's not like it was our first show. So a lot of experience helps things go a little easier. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but Mitch, and sometimes, like I said, sometimes when the pressure comes at you, you get kind of scatterbrained, you're a little...
But I
always felt bad because, like, you're kind of missing what's going on. It's like, I know it's professional, I know you got to get things done, but you got to take it in sometimes. And this time, you know, like, you wanted to... Like, you never came out with me and Roy last time when we...
No, were I never could. I was almost able to go every night if it wasn't for the stupid comedian...
Right, but plus you were kind of, like I said, taking care of a lot of things. This time, I remember you coming up to me and saying, like, hey, you guys go out to eat? I want to come with you. And
yeah.
I knew you were on point, and, like, you got to enjoy, have a good time with us. And
oh, yeah, and I actually got to host a couple panels this time, and I took my time with it, you know? So...
Yeah, and that you did a great job with Kirk Busiek and Roy on the Spider-Man panel. And I got to throw... You know, I know all your
Hold on.
And so we had a good time doing that. And not just you, but the creators. I mean, like, let's be honest. I went out to dinner with all of them. Steve
Englehart?
Yeah, well, on Friday, me, Roy, and Scott Martin, we went out with Steve Englehart and Roy. And we literally stayed at that restaurant... I'm going to say till like 1 o'clock talking about everything, talking about you know, everything in the, from the industry, what's going on in the comics, and
how... Oh, wait. That was Thursday night?
No, that was Friday
night. No, I was with you Friday night when we closed the place, or was that Thursday?
No. Yeah, that was Thursday.
Oh.
That was Thursday. On Friday night, it was me, Englehart, and Roy, and Scott Martin.
Oh,
wow. Literally, and on another table with Keith, Matt, all our good guys, Carmania, Joe St. Pierre, but they left hours and before we did. I'm telling you something. Roy had so much fun. I had to put the guy down. I had to, like, literally, the guy just wanted to keep going.
I know. I kept calling him Elvis. He was up all night.
Yeah, he was up, but his, I can't believe it. His voice was gone. He was exhausted, but he had such a good time. And Carla Conway was there, having said it was a wonderful time, too. I mean, I literally, on Saturday night, I had to put Roy down. I had to say, like, Roy, I sat him on his bed, and I'm like, that's enough, Roy. I'm like, Roy, relax. It's
no, I was so mad I didn't get to go out for another dinner. We were supposed to do Pepe's Pizza, but I had to go up to the rooftop and host the after party for about a half an hour as a comedian, because the comedian that we had didn't show up. She was stuck somewhere.
Oh, so. That girl, right? That girl.
Yeah, Lisa Correo. So they wouldn't let her. She was at the comedy club. She was supposed to come over at 8:30, but the guy wouldn't let her out, so they had nobody up there for an hour between sets. So I had to run up with the Captain America mask as the King of the Nerds and do some shtick for a bit. So...
How did that go?
Well, you get a couple laughs immediately because of the mask. That gives you about 20% of the laughs. And then you got to know your audience. And then I just did a lot of jokes about, you know, Mr. Fantastic's sexual, you know, abilities.
Did you have the robe on?
I did not have the robe on. It was downstairs in the closet hanging up, the Captain America robe. People are going to think I'm nuts. I'm walking around with a Captain America robe and a Captain America mask, like some kind of freakish...
And you need Captain America Crocs. If you could get some Captain America Crocs.
I think they have those. They had flip-flops. I was going to get those this summer. But
going back to the creators and stuff, like I said, there's a certain atmosphere of, like, just how, like, the energy is in a room. And you can sometimes go into a room, and believe me, I've played shows... Like from conventions and being in my band for 10 years prior to that, like you can walk into a room full of people and you can kind of get a gauge on how it is.
Yeah.
But Wissacon was perfect all the way through, and you can tell it by like all the creators and stuff. Like everybody's having a good time. Everybody's, you know, they're just enjoying it stuff, and there's a great atmosphere to Wissacon that you don't get at a lot of other cons, and I think that comes directly from you, Mitch, because you're a fan of this stuff.
Oh,
and it reminds me of when Jim Talbot used to do Boston. Like, there's an at-home feeling that all the vendors feel okay, you know, Jim's on it, and Jim has that, like, way with people that people love, and you can feel it in the place. And that's why it wasn't felt this year at Boston. No, it wasn't.
Well, no, it's not a big corporation, you know, and a lot of, and like I said, you know, and people go, oh, wow, you know, you're so fucking full of, I swore. They go, you know, you got such a big head, Mitch. You're always talking about your show and you do it and this and that. I go, look, it ain't cheap, that's for certain. And I do make sure it's an event. It's not just a big open market with people selling stuff and a couple celebrities shoved in the corner. It's actually got a theme. They'll be like, this year was Adam West because he passed away, so we had a Batman thing going on. But we also had a theme of Jack Kirby's 100th birthday. And a lot of this stuff only comes from if you're a true fan. You know, if you're not a fan, if you're just a big greedy bastard trying to make some quick cash, you're just going to throw some movie stars together, sell some tables, and give a rat's ass if anybody's having a good time. You're just going to be looking at the gate and seeing how many tickets you got sold. That's all you're going to care. And a lot of these shows nowadays, that's all the damn thing is. It's how many sardines can we put in a can, you know? We don't give a shit if the sardines are good. We just want the damn money. And that's the God's honest, and that's the God's honest truth. And I've had people tell me, you shouldn't be so blunt. You shouldn't be so callous about it. You know, don't hurt anybody's feelings. Don't talk. Hey, you know what? Grow up. And I'm swearing about this because, look, we're all adults here. If you're going to have customers, if you're going to have people that come after you year after year, you got to treat them well. You got to hold them by the hand, ask them what they want, and at the end of the day, if they're not happy, they're not coming back. And if they're not coming back, then you're in trouble. So I make sure, I don't care if I'm losing my voice, I'm on 2 hours sleep, I'm passing out there, I want to make sure every single person that comes to that door has a good time. And like I told you, we get 150 five-star reviews, and there's like 2 or 3 one-star reviews. Which ones do I read? The one-star ones. Because I want to know what happened, why that guy didn't have a good time. And other people say, don't worry about that. You're always going to have somebody. You're never going to please everybody. But I it's crazy, but I actually think I want to try to do that.
Well, Mitch, I can talk to you from Roy's point of view, and Roy loves you a lot, and he loves the show that you put on. And, you know, how many shows has Roy been to? And he can tell, he can say straight off, straight up, and he told me, like, he has such a good time with you. You treat him right. Everything's on point. And same with all the other creators I talked to, because I'm in the know with these guys. And case in point, you put on a great show. The only show I've said this time and time again, the only show I can compare it
Plastic
to is
City. Yep.
Why is that? Because Keith's part of our family. Keith Gleason loves it. Yes, it's a smaller version of that, but you can feel that, you know, like that love in there. But Keith, I grew up with Keith. I've known Keith for 20 years, and we know what good Comic Cons are. We know what both of the promoters. We know all this stuff. So he puts on a smaller version of your show.
Right.
And people think I'm biased because I said that, but it's true, because let's be honest. Me, you, Keith, Matt, everybody, all our circle, we're all fans of this. First and foremost, we're fanboys, and we still get starstruck. Like when we're talking to these people. Sure, we have fun and we do all this stuff, but like, oh my God, I can't believe I talk. Like, you know, we talk about it like all giggling girls, like we just kissed the boy or something, or kissed the girl. We're all talking to each other, like laughing about it, giggling about, oh my God, did you see that? That's what we do after. Because we're fans.
Yeah.
And that is shown straight up front. And that's why, Mitch, I'm going to commend you on a great show. And yes, probably the best show I've ever been to. And case in point, let me just throw this out there for people who think I'm just talking out of my ass about Terrificon. I don't want to skip any names, but another vendor was coming from Oregon. Was coming from Oregon, and he called me up and he told me that, hey, I've been hearing about Terrificon from Oregon. Now, okay, maybe they may do that with New York Comic Con, and they may do that with San Diego from that far of a distance. But I've never seen any other show saying that they about another show that far away that is as big as yours. I think that's unheard of. And that has to see. I mean, that has to take a little bit of precedence here. I mean, that's a big deal. So, I mean, it's not just us talking about it. Other people.
Yeah, no, and like I said, my only regret of this show every year is I don't get to spend enough time with everybody, and it's impossible. I mean, I can't sit down and talk to Scott Snyder. I can't talk to Greg Capullo. I can't talk to Steve Englehart. I mean, I talk to them for a couple minutes. I shake their hands. I ask them, you know, what's going on, thank them for coming, and that's about it. But I want to sit there and talk for hours, and you just can't because there's so many guests. You know, I'm having dinner with the guy that's Iron Fist. Next thing you know, I'm hanging out with Sean Gunn. We're talking about poker. You just can't be everywhere. So I'm glad that there's people like you and Matt and Scott Martin, and, you know, I live vicariously through you folks. I always hear the stories afterwards about what happened. And, you know, on and on and on. So that's it. I mean,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's the love of it. Let's go to historical value of Terrificon, and let's go right to the tippity top of what is going to probably forever be remembered about this show from now on until, let's just say, infinity. Throw it out there, Mitch. What am I going to talk about?
You are going to talk about the costume?
What panel are we going to
talk
about?
Oh, we're going to talk about the Star Wars panel. I mean, it was a history-making panel.
No, but that's what I'm saying. It's like, if anybody's going to remember anything about 2017, and about Terrificon, it's going to be about that Star Wars panel. And, Mitch, I know you had an in and out of that. You weren't in there for the whole thing, and I know eventually a video is coming up, but that was such a historical panel, the Star Wars panel. If you mind, Mitch, let me just throw a little out there. It was supposed to be Roy Thomas, and Howard Chaykin
yep.
for the first time in 40 years and lifetime since 1976 doing a Star Wars panel together. Because as we know, Chaykin doesn't care about that stuff. He never wants to do it. He always has an, you know, he doesn't care. And really knows that it ain't never going to happen. But this was the first time in 41 years, and Roy busted out the shirt that George Lucas gave the Marvel bullpen members, I guess it was 14 of them, to wear, and Roy had the original one, and he wore it at this panel. But lo and behold, okay, let me just tell you this. Me and Roy went to the bathroom, and I helped him change, because we had to get quick, and Roy was telling me, we got to hurry up, because if I don't show up and Howard's there, he's walking out. So we had to kind of push my way through the crowd and all that stuff. But lo and behold, Howard was there and somebody else was there too. Who was it, Mitch?
That would be former director of marketing hired by George Lucas himself, who went on to produce such hit movies as Alien and Judge Dredd with Sylvester Stallone. That would be the one and only Charles Lippincott, who has not appeared on a panel with Roy Thomas and Howard Chaykin and a certain Mark Hamill since 1976.
Now, what is interesting about that is none of us knew he was going to be there. Like, even...
No, I didn't know they were... Ryder Windham is the one who arranged all of it. He was the host.
Yes, I found that out after, but what made that so incredible was that Roy didn't know he was going to be there. Chaykin didn't know about he was going to be there. I didn't know, and you didn't know. It just
I walked into the panel just to check on it, to see if it was going all right, because I had to go do one of my own panels across the hall.
And I said,
who the hell's that guy up there? Because I saw Ryder, Roy, Howard, and then there was another gentleman at the end with the yellow shirt on. I go, is that a fan? What's going on? And I just took off. I had no time for it.
I have to. No, Mitch, now this is going to sound bad, but when I saw Lippincott first and we were going by him, because Lippincott, I got to admit, is not in the greatest of health right now.
Right,
he has some. He was also, like, with being helped. Did he have some walkers or something? I can't remember.
I don't know. Like I said, I didn't know. I've never seen him in person, so I didn't know who he was.
Right. And I don't want to seem mean, but I thought he was, like, a special needs fan. I know that sounds bad, but that's what I thought he was. Handicapped fan. And so when he started getting put on there and Ryder started announcing him, I was like, oh, even Roy, like I said, did not recognize him. And then lo and behold, it was Charles Lippincott. And it was unbelievable. And what made it so good and so legendary, I have to say this. First off, I was in front row, dead center, because I was taking pictures for Alter Ego.
Right.
But what made it so good was Ryder, who was the moderator, had a lot of stuff planned. But he only got to talk a little bit at the starting. And what happened was the three of them got into a run. They all started getting into a pace, and they all made peace. They all had fun. Chaykin had fun. Roy, of course, had fun. And Lippincott had fun. And as anybody knows, maybe they do, maybe they don't, but Lippincott and Roy had a little grudge going there where they weren't going to talk with each other. That all got squashed. And they, neither Billy even said anything, and those three guys took the reins and had an unbelievable time. Roy's only complaint, my only complaint, probably everybody else's only complaint, was that the panel was too short.
I know. I didn't.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when you do some of these panels, let me tell you, I hosted the Spider-Man 55th one with Roy and Kurt Busiek. Sometimes 45 minutes can be a long time, and sometimes it's not, you know? So, you never know.
You never know. But that's the whole point. We never knew that it was going to be like that. And I almost got choked up. Now, I'm not a big Star Wars guy. I don't really care about that stuff. But the fact that I could see it all playing out, it's like, I was saying to myself while I was taking pictures, like, oh, my God. I'm witnessing history right now.
Right, that is something
that they're going to talk about forever. And if there's anything terrific I will be remembered for, it's going to be on that panel. Because peace was made, love was made, and everything exactly the way you wished it would have went. even Chicken, like I said, having a great time. And he was funny. Sure, he's abrasive. Sure, he doesn't care what
he says.
Oh,
that's just Howard. That's how he is.
No, that's Howard. But he had so much fun. And even at the end, I was just like, oh, my God. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. So, Mitch, for that alone, would make the 2017 Terrific Con the greatest, maybe the greatest con of all time. And I remember saying someone saying like this, that too bad it was recorded because it could have been rumored. Like, you know, that could have been rumored only a certain piece of
Yeah, people. Like a legend. Yeah, like only the people over there.
But I said, no, I'm so happy this got recorded. And case in point, Mitch, you don't know this, but a lot of Star Wars fans after came up to me, big Star Wars fans.
Yeah.
But they came on Sunday and came later on that day. They came up to me and they said, you didn't tell me Charles Rippencott was there. You didn't tell me. And I said, we didn't know.
Yeah.
And that's what made it even better. Oh, my God.
No, and you know what's so funny? You're right, because I'm a huge Star Wars fan. I know all about Charles Lippincott, the history he had with Lucasfilm, the early days. And I'm just, he wrote to me afterwards because I apologized for not saying hello to him. And he said, you were there, but you were running by. I was talking to your wife, and you were so busy, you know, you didn't have a moment to spare. I can't believe he was there. I mean, literally, to me, that's like meeting the beginnings of Star Wars. That's like George Lucas. That's like a lot of the guys that did the special effects, the Joe Johnstons, the Harrison Ellenshaw used to do the map paintings behind their thing, Douglas Trumbull, John Dystra. These are the guys that were on the ground floor before Star Wars even came out. We're talking the 76. The movie doesn't come out until 77. They had no idea what it was going to be. Roy and Howard as well. They didn't know it was going to be a big movie when they were making that comic book. So these are the architects behind something that would become $1 billion, multi-billion-dollar franchise and change the way Hollywood is. You know, all the big blockbusters from Hollywood have always been affected by Star Wars. And how many millions and billions of people love that stuff?
And it's funny because when I asked Roy about why Darth, if you look at Star Wars #1, why Darth Vader is green on the cover, because he said, because who gave a shit?
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, because they didn't really know. And when they were talking on the panel, Howard was saying like the hardest thing for them to get was the scale, because they didn't know how big ships were or what, because there was only a couple of things to go by. They had to kind of come up with it all on the fly to make it work, Howard and Roy. So that just shows you that. But I want to also state this. Ryder also said to me at the end of the show when we were all packing up that he got notified by some people that worked in the Lucasfilms, and that they were around. They could not believe that panel went down.
Yeah.
They were saying, like, yeah, a lot of people that are in the close George Lucas family, they contacted him and could not believe that panel went down. So, Mitch, you got to congratulate yourself, though you, like, stumbled onto something bigger than ever. But, Mitch, maybe you should go into, I know we don't want to keep it on the Star Wars panel, but maybe you should go into, people got to know, how and why did Howard Chaykin finally agree after 41 years?
Oh, yeah, people love the Mitch Man, okay? That's basically what it comes down to. Howard says he wouldn't talk about Star Wars on a panel at New York Comic Con, San Diego Comic Con, never. But a little chubby boy named Mitch who loved Howard Chaykin asked him, and he says, I'll do it for you, and that's it. And then he even told me it was a moment of weakness that he did, because Howard and I, it's long stories. He yelled at me 20-something years ago, and I hated him for years. And then he made up, and then he forgot about it, and then he was going to be at my show 2 years ago, and I announced him, and he had to cancel because another con has an exclusive agreement and wouldn't let him out, so he couldn't go to my show, so he made up for it, and, you know, that's, I think, why he gave into it. That's another thing. There's another sad story that we can't talk about, but there was another creator who wanted to come to the show because we had an actress that was portraying one of his creations on the screen, and he wanted to sit next to her and meet her and have a photo op with her and all that. but unfortunately he could not come because some draconian exclusive contract that the gentleman signed unbeknownst to him. He should have read it better, I told him, that yeah, he's not allowed to come to a con for so many hundreds of months.
Speaking of that actress, let's just throw out there Colleen Wing, the actress that plays Jessica Henwick.
Jessica Henwick, yeah.
Okay, Henwick. Let's just throw this out there to people who want to know. There's a lot of drama that went on with Roy and her and being the creator of Iron Fist and maybe saying racial things, or maybe he...
Inadvertently, he did not mean anything. Yeah. There's no malice.
Yeah, it got settled and it got squashed at Terrificon because she was eager to be in a lot of photos with Roy when she found out who he was, and then we did some professional pictures with us, her. Yeah.
Not only that, but she thought Roy was a very attractive man, and she thought he was decades younger than he actually was. She thought he was 50 something.
Yes, exactly. So anybody out there who wants, that's another thing Terrificon 2017 did for Roy Thomas and me, that he squashed that. So anytime that you read about the things that happened earlier this year about Jessica Henwick and Roy Thomas,
it's all, you know what I call it, John? Bullshit. It's all bullshit, okay? It's just somebody trying to stir up some trouble on the internet. People like doing that stuff. I had some asshole that bothered me for years on the internet would go out there and say shit about me. Mitch is this, Mitch is that, Mitch is this, Mitch is that. And our friend Matt Herring said it best. Everybody's the Hulk behind the keyboard. There's a lot of these fucking screw looses out there and trolls that they get off on it. They can't have a good relationship with their friends and family. They can't be a man. They can't talk to you to your face. But behind the keyboard, in the secret empire, in the little world that they live, they could talk shit about you. And then they have their other cronies like chime in. It's a sad, pathetic existence. And the same thing that happened with Roy. He said something out of context. They tried to make something more out of it. It was never true to begin with. And we're glad that we settled it once and for all right there at Terrificon. It was another terrific moment there. But yeah, am I not right, John? Was it not great to see the two of them shaking hands and going, oh, I didn't mean anything. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Mitch, now that the Star Wars panel, let's go on to this. Now, from your perspective, because I can go from Roy and the crowds, and Roy had to be moved. See, from now on, people have to realize this. Roy Star is starting to shine. His characters are becoming prominent. People are recognizing him. And now he's bigger than Artist Alley, right, Mitch? Because
the lines were so thick, the other creators were complaining because the people waiting for Roy were blocking their tables, so they called me and they said, you got to move him out of here. So the fire marshal was involved, so I came up to him and said, hey, Elvis, we got to move you. So we had to move him out into the front lobby where I had all the celebrities, all the movie actors and TV actors. That's where Roy Thomas had to go because he is a celebrity, and we just had to do that for crowd control.
And now we're going to do that, and now I'm going to be, I'm telling you, Roy is bigger than Artist Alley, and now it's being proved, And that's where promoters who contact me that want Roy Thomas, you got to put him in a good aisle because just a few months earlier when we were
in New York, the same thing happened then.
We had to move Roy again because his entire line was stopping up the entire convention, and he had the biggest line in the entire show in March. So I'm saying to people, you have to understand, Roy's moving up in the world. Get him out of Artist Alley, and I'm going to make sure you do, and put him with the celebrities, because that's where he belongs, because he's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. So, Mitch, another thing, from your perspective, what else was awesome about Terrificon 2017?
We did a lot of things differently. We put the actors out in the lobby, and that worked out well. We had Greg Capullo and Scott Snyder, and they just had their brand new book called Dark Knight's Metal come out, and they were just like rock stars. They had lines, people sleeping on the floor, trying to get a hold of them. We had terrific panels. We had the fellow Ryan Meinerding, who's from Marvel Studios. He's the head of the art department, and he gave a presentation, and I hosted it, again, because it's my money, and I can do what the hell I want. But the reason why is because I'm such a fan of this guy's artwork. He had 1,400 slides, and he showed all the work he's done on Iron Man, Iron Man 2, Iron Man 3, The Avengers, Spider-Man, Captain America, Winter Soldier, every Marvel movie that's come out, this fella's had a hand on it. And he even started to show us some stuff from Infinity War and Hulk versus Thor and Ragnarok. But we went over, And they were trying to tell me to shut up because they had another panel coming in. And that's when I threw my weight around, and I got a lot of it. I said, hey, I pay the bills here. We can go as long as we want. So you tell whoever's after, they're going to have to damn well wait. And we went 20 minutes over the panel just to see all this guy's slides. He was fantastic. And when he walked out, everybody in that panel ran after him to get his autograph, which was really cool. And then it was nice to sit next to Roy Thomas and Kurt Busiek to talk to them about Spider-Man's 55th anniversary and find out stuff that I never knew about why they did the Untold Tales of Spider-Man and how it wasn't a success. That's always good. And you did a panel as well. How did that go with Rob Bruce?
I guess what happened is I was doing something, and somebody got me, and they said, like, you're on your panel now. So what happened was, I guess Robert Bruce was waiting for me, and he left trying to come get me, and I went in there. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When I went there, it was five people in there, but during the course of it coming on, I got about 40 people that showed up, right. And that wasn't bad, and I told them it was great. I was making them laugh, but I was telling them the ins and outs of the business, and, like, how to look for good stuff. I had a blast, Mitch. All of a sudden, but remember, I was on a fly, too, because I had people watching my booth and all that, but I was kind of happy with that, and poor Robert later on comes to me. He was like, where the hell were you? And it's like, I was like, where were you? I was a little late, but you never came back, and I think maybe he got busy or something, what have you, and he missed a great panel, so either way, that went really well, because you don't really know what you're going to get, but I love telling people who are willing to listen to the ins and outs of the dealing industry and how to not get ripped off and save yourself from from get a good deal and that stuff and become educated. That's basically what it was, to get educated. And now, Mitch, another thing we should talk about that, okay, Terrificon 2017 is in the books.
Yeah.
But in 2018, what's going to happen to that joint?
Oh, well, they're expanding it. They're building a brand new exhibition center, which is going to be three or four times bigger than we currently are now. So I'm going to have to come up with some more programming to do that, more guests. But it also means a lot for the artists who are just starting out, who want to get an artist table. I'm going to expand my artist alley for the beginners and the new people. And the prices are going to be well, well below what everybody else is charging, because folks are starting out. They don't have a lot of cash. It's a lot of money for people to do shows, and I have the space, so why not share the wealth and just, give them an opportunity to show off what they got, and there's no need to gouge them or rape their wallets.
Absolutely. But, Mitch, the thing is, too, is like when I went there, I go there once a year all the time, and the construction was so big that it wasn't the same as last year, so I kind of got lost a little bit before I started understanding how to, my way around again. But it's not just getting big. It's getting, you're being modest then. It's getting ginormous.
Oh, my, yeah, it is. It is. Well, I'm just a lot of work. I've got more work ahead of me. That's what it's going to be,
Yeah, a lot of work, but maybe we can, I'm doing my best to get some good people in your camp that can help you and take a big load off of your week.
Oh, don't tell too many people, John. My distinguished competition will be like, oh, no, we have to stop them. Oh, no.
I think it's going to happen, and more on that in future episodes, because maybe, who knows, when we can do a big announcement if that ever happens. It'll probably be after 2018,
yeah.
But I think it's going to happen. I've been drilling them. I drill them every time. But I'm glad that. And then think about this, Mitch. You were telling me that they also, Mohegan Sun also bought the lake and all.
Oh, yeah, they're going to make a huge, family, what's the word, like a
theme park.
Yeah, theme park and resorts and all that across the ways from the place. There's a lot of plans. I mean, Terrificon goes on as long as I want to do it. You got to understand that. I'm not, I thought about that today when I was out there. When I stop doing it, that's it. It's done. So enjoy it while it lasts, kids,
Yeah, but I know you, Mitch. It's still going to go on for a little bit more. But what's going to be good is Mitch might become a contender. Not that you want to. Not that just out of necessity. You might become a contender to New York and.
We'll never get stupid big. Where there's too expensive and the guests you can't see them.
Of course.
But yeah, it's things are bound to happen. Did I think it was going to get as big as it did? As it is now, no. But, stuff happens.
And we get and people have to understand we've been getting bigger every year.
Yeah.
And we got bigger than last year, despite how many other shows went on that weekend.
Oh my God, I said that as a joke today, because I was talking to somebody in the surrounding areas around Connecticut. There was one show in New Jersey called Monster Mania. It's been going on for years, all monsters. New York had two shows, a new one called Liberty City Anime Con. Then they had one called Play, which was a video game convention, kind of like what I do with GamerCon. Then there was some type of tabletop Dungeons and Dragons thing going on in Rhode Island, Providence. Then up in Massachusetts, we had a Walker Stalker convention, which is a show dedicated to the Walking Dead actors. And that was a week after Boston Comic Con, which had like 50-something thousand people. And I think there was another show somewhere. So on that weekend, if you were a fan in the tri-state area, the Northeast, you had 6 shows to compete with, or I competed with.
I would say 7, Mitch, because you got to throw Boston in there, because after Boston, people were like, probably, I ain't going to another show. So
I was still dealing with the After Effects. And even with that, we still had record numbers. We had more people this year than we ever had before, at like 20,000 people. And it's like, just goes to show you. And I had some people giving me shit today on the internet, because I said to myself, look, what is so wrong about being proud of your hard work? And I'm sorry if that pisses people off or rubs them the wrong way. But look, I spent, and you know this damn well, I spent a whole year, if not more, planning this out, working it out, talking with artists, talking with guests, driving up and down the East Coast promoting this damn thing. And I'm on TV, I'm on the radio, we do the podcast. And I spend, I'm not going to get crazy about it, but it's close to $250,000, okay? And that's my money. And that's my risk and my gamble. So you better bet your ass, when this show does well, I'm going to get on the rooftop and scream to high heaven, hey man, this son of a bitch worked, you know? And I'm going to pat myself. I don't give a crap if you don't want to pat me on the back. I'm patting myself on the back, because it's a lot of freaking blood, sweat, tears, fear, money, and all that. And a lot of people don't like to see somebody get successful. A lot of people don't like to see somebody else enjoy their success. There's a lot of haters out there. There's a lot of people that can't do something, so all they can do is hate. And the internet is the breeding ground of this hatred. So let me just put it out there right now. Boo-kin-hoo to you. If you don't like it, go out there, put your money on the line, put your life on the line, put your family on the line, bust your fuck, and do a goddamn good job. And if you have success, I'll be the first one to clap you on the back and say good luck to you. But until here and now, I'm thanking myself and all my friends who helped me put this together. People like you, people like my guests, people like my volunteers. Everybody came together and we did a great job. And for that, we're sharing in the victory. So there you go.
Absolutely. And Mitch, I have to say, I like how the casino itself, too, they had the superhero theme going on, because if you go into a lot of the restaurants, a lot of them were...
Everybody, success breeds a lot of fans, John. That's all I'm going to say. A lot of the people tie into it. You know, and I don't mean to get angry with the swearing, but sometimes I just sit there and I shake my head. And I'm like, you know what? Give somebody their due, okay? Somebody wins an award, somebody wins the race, somebody wins whatever. Give them a couple of days or minutes to accolade and say, wow, that's kind of cool. Because it's not something that happens all the time. I just can't. I'm just so tired of these miserable people out there. Jealous
Mitch,
people.
On another hand, I get a lot of the same. You know, I started out being, you know, first with Keith doing the heroin and stuff. Then I was a dealer. Now I've kind of went up the rankings and now I've become a pretty good agent, where I have a lot of guys now coming at me. And a lot of those dealers, oh, they don't like John. John's got the big mouth. John thinks he's all that. John thinks this. And it's the same thing. And I know that they're coming at me with smiles, but they got the shank in the back pocket. They're just dying.
Oh, yeah. If they could, they'd kill you. They could.
Being known, and that's something other thing, too, about in the dealer sense, being known, people like to come and they buy stuff from you. And I have to admit, I did very well on every level when it came to selling. And when it came to being the agent, I made a lot of money at your show. And a lot of people were upset with me because I made a lot of money.
See, again, why? Why? I know that. I've had to defend you sometimes from other dealers who give me shit. They got John so and so. He thinks he's somebody, and I'm looking at him going, the guy works his ass off, man. Give him some credit. But people don't like to give credit. They don't like that.
No, yeah, they don't understand the thing. Okay, there's a method to our madness. It's like you have to put yourself out there.
You have to be your own cheerleader. Okay, that's just the way it is. You know.
Well, think about this on two different levels. You being a con guy, me being a dealer. We're all selling the same thing.
But I know.
And it's like, what is going to distinguish? Everybody's got an AF-15 at their table or whatever the new hot comic is and the same toys. Everybody's got that. It's like, what's going to separate you from everybody else? It's got to be you. So a lot of people don't like me because I'm always out there. I'm always talking to people, making the relationship, just like you. But you're doing it for a con, I'm doing it for the dealer stuff, and then I make my money that way. And people can't understand that, and then I get the backlash. But you know what? It's like a boom fucking hoot to them, too, because I think the difference between me and a lot of the other people is that, and you, we love it. We thrive on it. And the more people that come, the more people that talk, we thrive. And I do. I love the adulation. I love when people are talking about me because, as you know, the haters, or I call them the jealous rubes, come out of the woodwork when you start moving up the ladder. And I absolutely thrive on that. When people don't like me, I know they don't like me because of where I am. It makes me more proud of where I am, and I thrive on it. Some people can't do that, but I'm a guy that thrives on it. And, I mean, Mitch, we gotta be, like I said, gotta, like Roger, like our buddy Roger said to me the other day, he goes, John, you're that guy now, you're that guy. Because I was telling him some of the people that were coming after me, and he just said, you're that guy now. And he's heard it too many times because he was our big wrestling guy, you know. But, you know, Mitch, we did good. So this was a really, like, a really coming of age Comic-Con, no?
Yeah, yeah. You know what I was thinking years ago? Of all people, our old friend, Arlen Schumer.
Oof.
Yeah, right? There's one. I talked to Arlen one day because I had somebody else tell me this. They go, wow, you really changed when you got more successful. You know, the shows got better. And Arlen says, people say that a lot. It's not really the person who's changed, you know, if they've won an award or they've done something, you know, out of the ordinary. It's the way the people around them view that person. You know, that person's probably the same guy. He's probably the same one who was putting his pants on one leg at a time and eating Captain Crunch and doing all the same thing. But the people around him suddenly look at him differently, or they think they look at him differently and think that, well, he thinks he's so-and-so and this and that. And that's what happens to a lot of this stuff. A lot of folks become mad or bitter because, you know, what makes you so different? You know that line in Captain America when the Red Skull has Cap at the end and he wants to know how come the secret soldier serum, the super soldier serum, worked on Cap. And meanwhile, it turned the Red Skull into this hideous, deformed creature. And he says, what's so special about you? And Cap goes, nothing. I'm just a kid from Brooklyn. And the friggin' Red Skull goes nuts and starts beating the shit out of him. That's what people can't stand. They can't stand that there is nothing really that different. It's just who you are. And that's what some people just don't like. They don't like you because of what you do. You even say, too, you are the most optimistic person. You're so optimistic, it borders on being drugged. You know that? Your enthusiasm is scary. It almost comes, it seems like it's pharmaceutically based. But it's not. That's you. You are the friggin' Energizer Bunny. When it comes to stuff. The reason why Roy Thomas is getting worn out and hanging out with you is because the vibe that you're giving off, and then you come up next to me, it's like the Wonder Twins powers. We're exuding this like love for comic books this weekend and everything and everyone to do with it. It's like Woodstock. Plus, I think the Mohegan Sun is pumping oxygen into the casino and we're all a little bit high. But for one reason or another, I never see a sad face. Never, never, never see somebody that's not having a great time, you know?
Yeah, it's case in point, Mitch. I mean, Roy Thomas, one of the legends of all time, like, and has been in the industry and has worked with everybody. When he said to me that I had more passion than anybody he's ever seen, that holds a lot of weight. I mean, like, and the funny thing is, the difference between us two is, like, when I saw people years and years ago, people don't realize how long in the trenches I've been in Comic-Cons. It's been 10, 12 years just work, you know, doing those little shows, trying to sell your rinky-dink stuff and traveling hundreds of miles and nobody cares and, you know, always losing more money than anything. But people don't realize that when I saw people that were better than me or, like, higher up the ladder than me, that made me work harder.
Yeah.
People were always willing to spit fire at you and stuff because you're up there, but they don't realize, like, if you want to get to this, you got to succeed because we all get our setbacks like you did too, right? You've had many setbacks that could have crippled you and everything.
Oh, it's not been a fun journey these last many couple of years.
No, for either of us. But the thing is what we do, we kind of grind your teeth and dig your feet into the ground and you just keep going. And now we're seeing the payback for that. And the funny thing is how hard we've been working. I'm not saying we deserve it, but damn, man, I'd be damn crazy if we didn't, because I know a lot of people work hard and they don't get there. But I just have this vision in my head of where I want to go. And if Ray Thomas, it looks to me as like John, you're the guy. I mean, that's pretty big time. And this is a guy that never had an agent before, never trusted anybody, and everybody was clipping at his feet, and he chose me, somebody that just had passion. Now, that has to say something. And then from that comes everything else. But that comes from digging my heels into the floor and just saying, there's something I got to do in this business. I got to make something. And, you know, the same thing has happened from you. So, Mitch, I'm patting you on the back, brother.
Oh, thanks, John. And people that are listening to this podcast, if there anybody is besides Scott Martin, they'll be like, what the hell is this, one giant pat on the back episode? No, we could switch gears and talk about some of the stuff we saw there. The Spider-Man panel was great. We talked about the Star Wars panel. I talked about the Hollywood panel. The cosplay was fantastic. We had the reunion of the Punisher team, the Stephen Grant, Mike Zeck, John Beatty. We had the reunion of the Justice League, Keith Giffen and Kevin Maguire. We had the Crisis on Infinite Earths panel with Marv Wolfman, Jerry Ordway, Mike DiCarlo, Bob Greenberger. Unfortunately, George Perez couldn't be there because of his heart attack. We had so many comic-based panels. I'm trying to think of some of them. We had the Supergirl panel with Marty Pasco, Peter David, Paul Cooperberg. We had comics in the 70s, comics in the 80s. The Wonder Women of comics with Meredith Finch and Kristen Gudznick. See, there is so much out there for comic book fans. I mean, Jesus God, this is what these, you know, when these guys show up at the shops every week to get their new books and they shoot the shit about comic books, this was 3 days of that, you know. That's all.
Oh,
Stan Sakai. Yeah, Stan Sakai was there talking about his work on, I can never pronounce it, the bunny rabbit samurai. What's it called?
Yeah.
Usi Gambo Gamba Monka.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I can read it, but I can never pronounce it correctly. Matt Herring has it done. Usagi something. Usagi Kimbimbo. Kimimo. I can't pronounce it. But anyway, like I said, and next year is going to be even better. Next year, I've already got plans. I've already got a theme going. I already know what I'm going to do. I dare not share it right now because the walls have ears, or the podcasters have ears out there, and everybody will jump on it and say, look at me, I thought of it, you know.
But, and you, I have to say, a great moment, too, is waking up really early, going to breakfast with Roy Thomas
and Marv Wolfman.
Yeah. And just hearing the magic. And like I said, you know, it's one of those things, I'm just a fanboy and I'm laughing with them, but I'm mostly just listening. And I know it's hard for some people to believe, but when I show respect for my elders, and I had my mouth shut, and I'm listening to these guys, and they're talking about their characters, and the things that they would have been talking about back in the 70s, too, and you know, like, oh, this, and I'm just like, sometimes I'm like saying to myself, like, I can't believe I'm here, and that was pretty good, a pretty good breakfast for about a good hour and a half before the show
started. Oh, yeah, the little Mitchie in the 70s can't believe he's sitting with the gods.
Gods, we're like the mortals that are caught in Mount Olympus, and we're like sitting there with friggin' Greek gods.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, it never stops, man. It never freaking stops.
Yeah, and I'm glad.
And I always wish it was going on every week. I really do, you know?
Yeah.
I forgot to talk about one of the best moments of the weekend was the Adam West tribute. which is...
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
We did that. Now, of course, Adam West passed away, but he was intended to be our headliner. But we did have Burt Ward, a.k.a. Robin, and Lee Merriweather, a.k.a. Catwoman, there to talk about it. Originally, they were going to do a whole panel about Batman, but he passed away. So we said, what can we do to honor the legacy of Adam West? So what we did was we got together with some of the cosplayers that we work with, and every year we always do a thing called the Dark Knight Club, where what if Batman was a lounge singer? So we had him up there, and he came out. We made the stage look like the Batcave. He came out and sang a song, an old Dean Martin song, or Frank Sinatra from the 60s called Call Me, and he made it as if the commissioner was calling him. So I come on stage, Batman runs off. I introduced Adam, Burt Ward and Lee Merriweather. They talk for an hour about the show and all the things that they do. I come back on stage. We had a guy that's Peter Griffin lookalike. He talked about the Family Guy and how Adam West was the mayor. Then I came on again, and we had a fella dressed as Batman sing a song called Ain't That a Kick in the Head. So every time he would say, Ain't That a Kick in the Head, they would show pictures of the Riddler and the Joker from the old show getting beat up. But nobody knew what my surprise ending was. And in March, we drove to Massachusetts, and we filmed Adam West when he was there at a con called, I think it's called the New England Comic Con or something like that, Gary Summers Show. And I had Adam West film on my phone some promos for Terrific Con because he was going to be the guest. So he said, this is Adam West, and I'll see you this August at Terrific Con. And he was holding up the poster. So when the show ended, everything went to black, and all of a sudden on the screen came Adam West holding up the Terrific Con poster. And he said that little speech, and then we just froze it, faded away, and just showed the Batman symbol with the little tear coming out the eye. I tell you what, the lights came up, and that place, you had grown men in their 60s and 70s, bawling like babies. I mean, there wasn't a dry eye in the house. And then we gave out posters and some T-shirts, and then we started the 1966 Batman movie. But to me, that was terrific because it was a nice production. It was a nice tribute to Adam West. It came out perfectly. Again, everybody has ideas out there. You can have an idea to make a comic book. You can have an idea to make a show. You can have an idea to make a Comic-Con. But it all comes down to execution. If you don't execute that thing perfectly, it's just going to be a waste of time. And that thing came off flawless, and it was great. So that was one of my highlights of the weekend.
Yeah, that was good. I was proud to be there, too. When
Right. You guys were there. Roy was there. Yeah.
But I was also proud to be with you when Adam recorded, when you recorded.
Yeah, that's right. You were with
me. Lucky guy. But the thing is, too, it really was a great thing. And we have to thank Lewis Perry. Didn't he give you the Batman movie?
Yeah, I was so worried I wouldn't have a copy of the movie. I woke up at 3 in the morning last week, and I couldn't find my copy, so I called Lou, I called Jerry Ordway, I called Bob. I had about 5 people bringing me copies of that movie, Blu-ray, DVD. I was so worried that we weren't going to have a copy of it. We had more than enough copies of it.
Well, that's good.
But you were there, though. It was a cool moment, wasn't it?
No, it was. Of course, that was great. You want to know something, too? Because when that was going on, I remember, you didn't tell me that you were going to put it up there. I remember, like I said, but I remember doing it with you, but I knew that was going to happen. I didn't know if you were going to do it at the very end.
Yeah.
And I didn't, and so I kind of knew, because that was footage that you had.
Yeah, it was
and
on
I
my
knew
phone.
You were going to let it put away.
Yeah, no, I think people liked it. And that's what I'm saying, that little touch you got to be a fan to appreciate all this stuff, you know?
Well, once again, it comes down to being a fan, a true fan.
Yeah, that's it. Well, I mean, we got to get back. We're going to get back to the normal Power Cosmic after this. We'll start arguing about comic books because I already started watching the new Defenders show. I've already watched 3 or 4 episodes, so we can start talking about that.
I haven't had any time.
I know it's hard to. I got back Monday night, and the last thing I wanted to do was watch superhero stuff because I was just with 2 of the actors on that show for 4 days. You know, Jessica Henwick and Finn Jones, Iron Fist. And it was cool to have them.
Makes you look at it a little differently, right?
It's totally weird. When you actually work with these people for 4 days at a show and see them breakfast, lunch, and dinner and hang out with them, and then you watch them on TV, it's a you can never really watch it again. You can't the same way, you know? So, because they're people now. Now they're not just people on TV. You actually, you hung out with them. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Weird, isn't it?
It's weird.
Just like like hanging out with Roy and everybody else, Engelhart, Ordwig, Cooperberg. It's just once you know them, it's just odd to just think of them in different ways. But
yeah, it's funny. Like talking to Ordwig, I mean Engelhart too, and I'm looking at him, I'm like, that's Star Lord right there, dude.
I know, right? And this guy, look, the best conversation I had. I was leaving on Monday. And I was the last one out, and I said goodbye to Neil Adams and everybody else like I normally do. And this guy comes up to me, big, tall fellow, about 6'4", blonde hair, glasses, from Germany. And he sees me in the lobby. He goes, are you the producer of the show? I go, uh-oh. Yes, I am. He goes, I come all the way from Germany, and this was the greatest thing I've ever been to. I go, what? You came here from Germany? He's like, I took my wife and child. I flew all the way here. I wanted to meet all these people. That my greatest artist next to Kurt Swan is my favorite, is Jerry Ordway. And I'm like, Ordway? Because I see Ordway every week. You know, I go out for pizza and burger with Jerry all the time. I'm like, Ordway is your favorite artist? And he goes, and the best one, you're going to love this. He goes, and I love the writer Paul Cooperberg. I go, Cuppy? He goes, yeah. I go, Cranky Cuppy? That's your favorite Cuppy that I have hot dogs with? And he's always swearing at me? And this guy was shaking. I'm not kidding. He was shaking talking about all these people and how there's nothing like it in Germany and how he flew all the way around the world to come here just to meet all these people. And you really got to think about it. There's not a lot of shows left that still do this. And these people mean a lot to a whole generation of fans, you know? I mean, the Ordways, the Wolfmans, the Cooperbergs, the Zecks, the Beatties, Engelharts, Grant, you know, people grew up on this stuff. They made their lives based on the writings and the drawings of these guys, and it means a lot to them, you know? So that was cool. That was one of my highlights I think I'll always remember. No matter how many years I get old, I'll always remember this guy coming from Germany and thanking me for doing that. So,
and Mitch, to give my little final review here, I'll say that it was terrific.
I'll agree with you, John. So, still exhausted by the whole thing. But anyway, if this... Hey, you know, Chaz Palminteri was there. He should say our closer because he kind of would. He was shocked. He never went to a Comic-Con before. And the funniest thing that came out of his mouth, he goes, you got to be fucking kidding me. All these people are so into the funny books. So, there you go. So
That's awesome.
But how would we wrap it up, Johnny, if this was back in the old podcast days?
And that's that.
And that's that.
This has been a production of Big Fedora Marketing, LLC. The folks that bring you the terrific Comic-Con, GamerCon, and so much more. Thanks for listening.